Welcome this morning to Truth Source, the Word of God, as we seek to discover sound biblical truth for today's world through the study of Scripture. This is Pastor Alan Marson from Christ Range Church in Frederick County, Virginia, with today's message titled, Coming Out. Our Pentecost message is based on Acts 2, verses 1 through 24. But let us open with prayer. Loving God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank and praise you for raising Jesus from the dead, the first fruits of your new creation, and for sending your Spirit, that we too may have new life in Christ. We thank and praise you for the power and promise of the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us in all our ways. Help us to live in accordance with your Spirit, setting our minds on what the Spirit desires so that we may be joyfully alive in Christ. And this in the name of Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. So turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had finally come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? How is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? The Parthians and the Medes and Elamites and those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judah and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phalera and Philippi, Egypt and parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, Whatever could this mean? But others mockingly said, They are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, men of Israel, hear the words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, but whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. So we come together today for one of the great Christian holidays and a significant national holiday. For Christians, Pentecost Sunday is thought of as a sort of birthday of the church, but it is far more that I hope to express today. The name Pentecost is the Greek name meaning the 50th day. And for Christmas, that is 50 days after Easter. This falls on a Jewish holiday that goes back to Moses, known as the Feast of the Weeks or the Feast of the Harvest. This was the early harvest of grain celebrated with the fall harvest yet to come. In the Christian holidays, we also celebrate a harvest of sorts, as the sermon of Peter reaped a harvest of souls. Now, the world notes this holiday as Pentecost is a Christian holiday observed on the seventh Sunday after Easter that celebrates the blessings of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles and other followers of Jesus Christ, as mentioned in the Acts of the Apostles. The day of Pentecost is known in the Christian church as the day on which the Spirit descended upon the apostles. Then, guided by Peter's preaching, many thousands were converted in Jerusalem. John Gill expressed the significance in his commentary. Through this baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire, the apostles became more knowing, had a greater understanding of the mysteries of the gospel, and were more qualified to preach it to people of all nations and tongues. Now, these definitions coming from Christians seem almost secular. They do not express the depth of what this day offers. But even more important, this is not a story from over 2,000 years ago, but it is a message for today's church, and it's for you, and it's for me. Do not confuse what the Holy Spirit is. It did not suddenly appear on this day, but existed since before creation. It was on this day that Jesus had it take control of the disciples in his stead to guide and strengthen them to action. Between the ascension and until this day, the disciples had more or less been in hiding, not certain what to do. The Master had told them to wait. They were just waiting. And this passage begins with, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. There came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled the whole house. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, one set upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. Now, do not be hard on the disciples, for they had done as commanded. They were uncertain, they were afraid, and they felt unprepared, much as we all feel today. They had seen horrible things happen to Jesus, and then Judas. But that was all countered by the appearance of the Lord and his raising into glory. But now what? Suddenly a sign that all would recognize. The wind blowing, but only in this one room. Tongues of fire resting on everyone's head. And they all felt empowered. They were no longer afraid, though still not sure what to do. But the Holy Spirit literally drives them out of the room into the streets of Jerusalem. Streets filled with Jews who had come from the four corners of the world to celebrate this festival. The harvest was ripe. Suddenly, the laborers were there to gather. No one could claim they couldn't understand, for they were all allowed to hear in their own language. So how could these uneducated Galileans learn all these different languages? Most Jews spoke Aramaic, which is a blend of Hebrew and other regional languages. Anyone who did business would know Greek. But look at all the languages listed in this passage. Now, don't concern yourself with the logistics of this passage. Did Andrew speak in Parthian and James speak in Medish? Or did the disciples speak in their own language and God allowed all to hear in their own? It really doesn't matter. What matters is the disciples spoke, the people heard. Think about this. Today, how many people are not to hear about Jesus unless someone tells them? Don't depend on movies and TV to spread the word. Speak it to the world. You may only reach one person. That will be one more to avoid destruction. But we are afraid to speak. So were the disciples. But what made them lose their fear? It was the Holy Spirit. The early church was described as Spirit-filled. And that is what enabled them to step up and step out into the world, to spread the gospel to the four corners. And in the first 13 chapters of the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit is mentioned nearly 40 times. The early church was Spirit-filled. That was the source of its power. But that will only work then and now. Today's church doesn't lack in resources, it lacks spirit. We sit every Sunday morning in our comfortable buildings, thinking more of the events of the week coming, and we do not trust. We want the Spirit, but do nothing to open our hearts to allow room. The Pentecostal churches, like Assembly of God, seek the Spirit. Their name comes from this event. They attempt to focus more on the Holy Spirit than most other churches. Maybe to a fault, maybe ignoring other aspects, maybe more of the appearance of a Spirit-filled worship. They at least recognize that without the Holy Spirit, our efforts are futile. And next we have Peter, the disciple who more often put his foot in his mouth, but also the first to acknowledge Jesus as the Christ. Peter was like many of us, uncertain, poorly prepared, self-interested, and often confused. Once the disciples had the attention of the crowds, Peter steps forward and takes over the first recorded Christian sermon. And Peter uses Joel chapter 2 as a scriptural basis for his message. The prophet Joel prophesies hundreds of years before of the events of the day of Pentecost, but just didn't know exactly when. Before this day, most observant Jews would have thought that God would only pour out his word on the few, and specifically chosen prophets. But Joel tells of a time when this word would be poured out unto all people of faith. If you knew your scriptures at that time, you would know this passage. You would have witnessed it come true before your very eyes. This very moment begins the countdown to the great and awesome day of the Lord, what we call the end times today. This is why it's so important that we know our Bibles, that we may recognize what is happening around us. God's plan is being fulfilled before our faces day by day, and we must recognize it and live accordingly. The most important part of Joel's prophecy that Peter here raises is found in verse 21. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We accept this too easily. The Jews who were in Jerusalem that day would have been skeptics of that day. Hadn't they just voted to condemn an innocent teacher from Jerusalem to death? The fanaticism of the Pharisees had overwhelmed any reasonable thought process, or they would have recognized that the man Jesus was the fulfillment of Scripture. So Peter takes no chances and reads the Scripture to them this time. The Jews have been looking for their salvation since the beginning, and especially the last 700 years, and now Joel, through Peter, tells them the time is at hand. But who is this Lord that we are to call upon? And Peter then goes through a brief history of Jesus, with men of Israel hear these words of Jesus of Nazareth. Being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified, put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. It is this Jesus who is Lord. You all heard of him. Many witnessed the miracles and signs, yet did not recognize just who he was. They willingly accepted the statements of the elite of the church, the powers that held sway. They put self before God. It didn't happen as they imagined it should happen. They denied the true Son of God. Now Peter gives them another chance, and about 3,000 were baptized and found salvation. The church grew from around 100 to over 3,000, and the church became permanent and unconquerable force in the history of humankind. In this sense, this is the birthday of the church. But understand, the true church existed long before, will still be a force up to the day that Jesus comes to rule again. But what about us? Are we modern-day Pharisees? Or are we the legalistic scribes? Are we just too busy to pay attention? So maybe Jesus doesn't match our vision of the Christ. Are we so busy with the traditions of our own faith group or rites of worship to pay strict attention to Peter's message? God has told us all things through the prophets and the teachings of Jesus. But if he came today, are you ready? Are you certain you are ready? We have simply become too comfortable with Christianity. We have heard the gospel over and over since we were kids. We don't give it the consideration it deserves, especially in such troubling times. We acknowledge the Holy Spirit, but don't expect it to be a part of our worship or lives. As the early church grew through the power of the Holy Spirit, so must today's church cast off its slumber and again become the force of change and salvation in the world. So how do we gain the power of the Holy Spirit again? Remember, Jesus promised it to all who believe. We must open our hearts to accept it. We must truly expect it when we pray, for without we will never be a force anywhere. We must reevaluate our belief. Do we say we believe because we were told to? And like the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, do our hearts burn within us as we hear or read God's intention? Do we give a proper place in worship to the Holy Spirit or just assume it's there? Have you ever prayed directly to God to send the Spirit? We must pray for the Holy Spirit to come, for we truly need its power if we are to turn around the church and the world. We are to be like the disciples on that Passover day long ago. We are to leave our safe space. We are to come out to face a hostile world with the truth of Christ. We will never be able to do it by ourselves, but with the aid of the Holy Spirit, all is possible. Today we celebrate the Holy Spirit, not as a concept, but as a live and active part of our worship and lives. Remember, Jesus promised. Amen. So Monday is Memorial Day. There will be picnics and gatherings since we all get a day off, but we should never make lightly of this holiday. While many associate Veterans Day and Memorial Day with service, the two are not the same. Veterans Day is a celebration of those who serve and have served. Memorial Day is a solemn day to reflect on veterans and military personnel who are deceased. Memorial Day is a U.S. national holiday that honors the country's military members who died in service. The holiday offers citizens a chance to reflect on the countless individuals who served and lost their lives and then come together with the families and communities left behind. Many people visit cemeteries or places that remind them of their loved ones. It dates back to the Civil War in the 1860s. And back then it went to by a different name. It was called Decoration Day, named for the tradition of decorating soldiers' graves with flowers and flags. In the South, many still observe a Confederate Memorial Day in honor of the fallen, but it's no longer a state holiday in Virginia. It wasn't until the 1970s that Congress officially recognized all wars and those fallen as a part of the federal Memorial Day. But the history and most of the sentiment still goes back to the post-Civil War era. I would like to read the very ending of a poem called The Watchers by John Greatley Whittier, written in this era. Still wait and watch, the way prepare, where with folded wings of prayer may follow weaponless and bare. Too late, the stern voice replied, too late, its mournful echo sighed. In low lament, the answer sighed. A rustling as of wings in flight, an upward gleam of lessening light. So past the vision, sound and sight, but round me like a silver barrel, rung down the listening sky to tell. O holy help, a sweet voice fell. Still hope and trust, it sang. The rod must fall, the winepress must be trod, but all is possible with God. I hope you caught the reference to the winepress of Revelation 14 we covered last week and recognize the impact that phrase has made in our history. War is a horrible thing, but unfortunately sometimes very necessary. The very least we can do in our day is to honor those who stepped up, who faithfully served even to the point of their lives, that we may live free today. They sacrificed much, if not all. And I pray we will not be called to the same choice, but fear that Satan is very busy, that we must recognize that we are not involved in a culture or political difficulty, but are truly in the midst of spiritual warfare. Will you stand firm, or will you give up what millions have died for to give you a better life? We will now have a Memorial Day prayer. And if we go to Psalm 27, verses 3-4, says, Though an army besieges me, my heart will not fear, though war breaks out against me. Even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, and this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and seek him in his temple. So today we bow our heads and hearts to you, Lord, that we may remember those who paid the ultimate price by giving their lives for their country. We can never be grateful enough for the sacrifices they made. We are humbled by their willingness to put their own lives aside for the benefit of ours. Father, carve their sacrifices into our hearts so we may never forget the loss of these heroes. And we pray for this in the holy name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. So we will close with our benediction. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. May the love of the Father enfold us, the wisdom of the Son enlighten us, and the fire of the Spirit kindle us. And may the blessings of the Lord God come down upon us and remain with us always. Amen. So thank you for joining us today on the radio. If able, find a good church and worship with God's people. But we pray you will find God here as well. You can hear a message every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. on this radio station, or join us in person at Christ Range Church at 11 a.m. for Truth's Source, the Word of God. If you missed a message, go to www.talkwinchester.com, then the Church Services tab, and then Christ Reigns. You can also find a video of this message on our website. This is from Christ Range Church, www.crpchurch.com.
Let